one of my favorite writers, one of my favorite thinkers, on a whole range of issues. Whether we're talking about American history, whether we're talking about ancient history, whether we're talking about the here and now, Victor Davis Hanson joins us on the John Carlson Show this morning. Victor, good morning. How have you been?
Very good. Thank you.
I really appreciate you making the time, because I spent more than a few minutes last week talking about the spectacular historic collapse of the FTX cryptocurrency company and the machinations of its founder, Sam Bankman-Fried, who is all of 30 years old, who founded the company just in 2019. And one thing I couldn't get my arms around is, how does something like that even happen? And you had an essay that made it clear this is how it happens. And it happened once before with Elizabeth Holmes. And those are just the most famous manifestations of this culture here in Silicon Valley. Please explain.
Well, I watched firsthand the Elizabeth Holmes because there were four members of our institution that were on her board, including George Shultz. So I think people have to realize that that was a colossal $8 billion con, because she paraded her, she did about three things that were necessary to fool people. Number one, she was a big Hillary Clinton bundler in 2016, and she was well connected within the machinery of the Democratic Party, both in the Bay Area and Washington, through her fundraising abilities. Second, she had dropped out of Stanford, but she had dropped out of Stanford, but not dropped out. She was a creature of Stanford University. She was always around. She name dropped it. And then third, he did the slob routines. Sam Bankman-Fried, I mean, he looked like a slob, and that was supposed to grab our attention. She did it the other way. She dressed all in black and emulated Steve Jobs almost to the T, exact same outfit. And she had striking blonde hair, and she was young and attractive. And so she became a cult figure. But it took it. In fairness to Stanford University, the person who really exposed it was a Stanford epidemiologist, John Ioannidis, who showed that you could not get an accurate reading on her Edison testing machines with just a drop or two. And then that whole Ponzi scheme collapsed. Bankman kind of followed the same thing. He grew up on campus. He went to MIT. His parents are some of the most vocal left-wing faculty members at Stanford, and they're heavily embedded within the Democratic Party.
Both professors
and
at Stanford.
Law professors. The father was a consultant to Elizabeth Warren on equity and inclusion and diversity investing and law, and the mother ran this Mind the Gap, which was a PAC that funneled dark Silicon Valley money into the most left wing of Democratic candidates. So he grew up in that environment, and he was a utilitarian, as are his parents. That's a fancy word for saying the ends always justify the means. If you establish that you're morally superior to everybody and you care about the proverbial people, then any means necessary are permissible. Now, he said he was a utilitarian, but I think he was just a selfish buffoon, because he got $40 million and his morally superior parents got in on it. They bought a luxury condo with his money in the Bahamas. So otherwise, he didn't keep records. He just salted the Democratic Party with $80 million in total the last election, and maybe $10 million to Joe Biden. If he had not done that, in fairness to him, I don't think he would have gotten away with it. It was the it was the money that ensured lack security. The same thing with Elizabeth Holmes. If she had not been a prominent bundler, I don't think she would have got as far as she did.
Because once they did that, there was just the assumption, hey, these are friends of ours. If they're skating too close to the edge, they're friends of ours.
Yes, and they're the good people. And then they attract people in that sphere. So she was able to get people from Stanford University and from our institution that once she said she was the good person, the anti-Trump person, the Hillary person, then they thought it was, this was okay to join her, and then it just was downhill with her you know, her charisma, her Steve Jobs get up, another genius that sort of a Martin Zuckerberg genius. He did the other thing. He, you know, he pops up. You can see him around Palo Alto. He does the tie-dye shirts, the old jeans, the flip-flops. They all have a shtick like that, that they're just, you know, they're either geniuses or they're men and women of the people.
Basically a costume.
Yes, it's a costume. Absolutely. That's a good term. They're the among the most selfish people because none of their ideologies that destroy the middle class ever apply to themselves. And they have old-fashioned material acquisitiveness. They love material wealth, and they bask in it. Sort of like in Obama's with their four homes lecturing us on our illiberality. And it's a very toxic. It's got not $8 trillion of market capitalization between San Francisco and San Jose. Wow. So you meet these people, you know, 30 years old, they're making $2 million, and they equate the fact that they're making money with their moral superiority.
How good they are.
They didn't make so much. Yeah, I mean, they think, well, if I wasn't morally superior, I wouldn't make this kind of money. I'm being rewarded for my genius and my superior ethics and morality. So they're very difficult. They're very dangerous people.
So Elizabeth Holmes is now headed to prison for a while, too.
Yeah.
I don't know what will become of Sam Bankman-Fried. What about his mother, who gave him tax advice? The law professor.
I think she's in trouble because I think she's in trouble for that because I think there was a financial official in his corporation that took money from the investing pool and put it into her PAC. And then in addition, I don't think two law professors routinely buy a $1 million-plus luxury condo in a family condo block in the Bahamas. And if that was true, then of course we want to know whether she paid gift tax on the money that came from him. And
sure.
Did she know that the money was not his, that he tapped into the investor's accounts to give her that money? And then we should remember that his CFO, this Ellison young girl, was a Stanford graduate. And she was very prominent at Stanford University. She was a daughter of MIT professors. And she was the polyamorous person that kept bragging about their communal lifestyle and communal sexual activity and communal business, shared business superiority. But they all come out of that nexus between Bay Area, sort of Gavin Newsom, Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, Barbara Boxer politics, and Stanford University gives them the kind of university chic cover for prestige, and then they get the money from Silicon Valley, so it's a trifecta. And out of that, they do a lot of damage, and you can see the damage they've done in California. It's a dysfunctional state, but it reflects their values and who they are.
And you've got to wonder, I mean, how many people were taken? They say maybe 100,000 people lost a sum or a whole lot of money.
A million.
From FTX. A million? Whoa.
Yeah, I think they use that figure for the institutional investors in mass that, you know, their advisors bought into the cryptocurrency, but they represented individuals who invested in that currency firm. So that's what they're talking about. And they destroyed it. They probably destroyed the lives of a lot of people.
My guess is
he was ready to keep going.
Yeah.
He had a pretty ambitious agenda.
My guest is Victor Davis Hanson, historian, essayist, and author. Victor, let me ask you about a separate issue. We got about a minute and a half left. I want to ask you about Apple's reaction to Twitter and the murmurings that Apple might remove Twitter from its app library. Are you following that story?
There's a line from George Orwell. I don't know if he actually said it, but it's been attributed to him. If it paid better, they'd be fascists. And it's fascistic what these left-wing people are doing. They destroy. I think they're still high that they destroyed Parler in January of 2021, that upstart rival to then left-wing Twitter. And they've been giddy ever since. So they feel that Amazon and Google an Apple can destroy anybody by denying market access or consumer access to the product. And I think they're really scared, because I think Elon Musk is going to start releasing internal documents. And they're thinking, if I was Elon Musk, this is what I would do.
Yeah.
And then, therefore, they know that he might do what they would do. And that's what they're scared. That whole left-wing paranoia, you can see it in the House now with Adam Schiff. He's thinking, oh, my God, they're taking over now, and they might do what I did to them. And I would do to them what, if I was in their place, right. I surely would do to me what they're planning. So they know what they've done, and they feel that it's kind of vindictive and punitive, and they're afraid people will use the same tactics against themselves. So I think they want to destroy Twitter as soon as they can. I don't think they can do it, though. I think he's going to survive.
I do, too. And in many ways, I think he is more potent and more influential, more consequential than any of the possible Republican candidates for president. Victor Davis Hanson, thanks for joining us on the John Carlson Show.